If you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to do my best, and you know me, I may have trouble with this. I'm going to do my best to hold my volume so that my voice will last through the sermon. So if I'm doing good, I'm going to get louder towards the end. Is that okay? I also will be helping it with the cup up here. So Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to begin at verse 13. You may notice in chapter 5 that that's right in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount. And following the Beatitudes, Christ Jesus speaks to the crowd after he's told them about what kind of heart it takes to be a follower of Christ, a follower of God. And following the Beatitudes, he offers a series of teachings that if we incorporate them into our life, literally will absolutely revolutionize our walking existence as Christians. In verse 13 of chapter 5, Jesus made a statement. He said, "You are salt." Now, it's not very often in the scriptures that Jesus says you are something. But he says here, he says, "You are salt, and you're the salt of the earth." In that expression, Jesus has given us what has become in our day, and probably more so in an earlier day where it was used more, but he gave us a great compliment that we can pay on to someone. When somebody wants to underscore the worth of an individual, we might say what? They are the salt of the earth. Now, honestly, tell me, how many of you have ever heard that expression used today? Less and less of us. The salt of the earth. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? And notice what Christ Jesus says. I want you to notice the R's of this. You are. Jesus Christ said to the people, he said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." Now, this is a brief passage, but much here for us to consider. Would you pray with me? Father, in your grace, would you extend your wisdom to our hearts and our minds, that this very simple verse that we've heard so many times might be more than just an expression of compliment to one another, but Lord, it might indeed be a fact of our existence, because it will indeed revolutionize the way the world sees and receives us. So our prayer, Father, is that you would help us to understand that we're not to dispense salt, but we are to be salt. Help us to gather that in, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you be seated? We are to be salt. And folks, that's the very type of influence that Christ is speaking of here. When he says you're to be salt, he's saying that that's the influence that Christians should have on our society. And I want us to stop for just a few minutes and explore some of the ramifications of what being salt means. First of all, we know this, salt has a definite influence. Amen? Anybody have to go on a saltless diet lately? Or ever? Mm-hmm. When Christ calls us, and what he means is you, what he means is me, those of us who are believers in Christ Jesus, when he calls us the salt of the earth, he is clearly stating that there will be a source of influence in the person that we are. Not just the things we do, not just the things we say on occasion, but in the person that we are. He said, "You are salt." Did you notice that? He didn't say, you know, "You have salt." He didn't say, "Sometimes you dispense salt." He said, "You what? You are. Now, what does that mean? That means that we are actively in the state of being salt. Now, what he's meaning is this. It's not your occasional behavior. It's not your once in a while thoughts. But it's the constant character of God inside of you that lives in you every day that has an influence on society. That's what he's saying. Who you are at the very depth of your being has an influence on society. And listen, it is a fact that it's only as a Christian that we humans are salt of the earth. Now, you can say that somebody is good and somebody does some great things, but I'm going to tell you, as far as the power of what salt does, we're going to talk about that in a moment, only Christians can be the salt. And so you either are or you are not. Because the fact is this, we really don't exert much influence on other people by our words, do we? And if we are going to have an impact on them with our words, it's only going to be because what we say is backed up by what we are. Otherwise, we're known as what? Masked actors, hypocrites. It's our consistent Christian walk, dear friends, that's going to influence other people. They notice it. It's a flavor that just kind of flows off of you day to day, day in and day out. And in food, the presence of salt just can't be ignored. It has an influence, and all of us who like it say, amen. We know the difference it makes in its savory presence. It has a positive influence, and it permeates everything that it touches. If it's present, you can't fail to taste its presence. Amen? Now, this is in the food, and we know that in the food we're very free in being able to talk about it here. But if it's absent, it's obvious. Well, isn't that exactly what Christ is saying here? That it's the same when we are the salt of the earth. If it's present, if we have salt, it's very, very noticeable. And if it's absent, it's obvious. It's missed. We either have it or we don't. People will be aware of our Christian influence if we have it. If it's present, they won't fail to recognize it. And here's the truth, isn't it? It won't always be welcome, but they will recognize it. Have you ever been excluded from an office party, visit, activity? You weren't invited because they knew you wouldn't approve anyway, and they didn't want your salty influence there to put a damper on their fun. Maybe it was a family or a community event, and you just weren't invited. And you know what? Praise God then if you were failed to be invited for that reason. It won't always be welcome, but it will be recognized. Salt has a definite influence, and that's what Christ Jesus is saying we're to be. Secondly, salt has a sphere of influence. Now, he said, you are the salt of the what? So we have a sphere of influence. That sphere is the earth. As a Christian, we know we're supposed to shine our light, and in the very next verse, had we read it in verse 14, he said, you're the light of the world. We know that we're supposed to shine our light. The problem is we forget where it's supposed to be shown. We forget where we're supposed to be putting our salty influence. Where are we to unloose that saltiness? Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Now listen, I don't live in Asia. I don't live in Europe. I don't live in Africa. Where I live is in the United States. And even there, it's hard for me to influence. It's harder to be an influence everywhere. So, okay, where are we to be an influence? Where on earth? What did Jesus teach us about where we're supposed to be a helping source? He said, help your neighbor. If you want to go back and reteach the parable of the Good Samaritan, we see that our neighbor is whomever crosses our path. Those people that we come close to, the people that live around us. So we are the influence, if you will, to our community. Yes, we can send people to be an influence elsewhere, but where we live is where we're supposed to be the greatest influence. Folks, if we don't do it, if we aren't the influence in our community, if we aren't the influence in our neighborhood, who's going to do it? No one else is going to do that. Do you know why? We already said that you cannot be the salty influence that Christ wants you to be unless you first belong to God. Unless you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Unless you're an obedient follower of Jesus Christ. We are to be the salt. And there is no substitute. There isn't anything else. It's our business to serve as the salt of the earth in the city where we live. To whom? To our neighbor. Who's our neighbor? Anybody and everybody that God puts in our path. So as a person of salt, as a person of flavor, we're to serve as a purifying factor in our community. We're a preservative. A preservative will keep the moral rot out of our community that would sicken our children and our family. Amen? I think that we have pulled back our savory qualities. And the world is teaching us that we shouldn't have it at all, much less we should be sharing with somebody else. We're told that in order to be a good citizen, to be a good member of society, you tolerate all the sin that's around you and you keep your mouth shut. You don't talk about their sin. Listen, folks, Christ Jesus, when he came, do you realize that when he preached, when he taught, when we go through the Word of God, he talks about sin and how it's against God and how it will lead you to destruction instead of to heavenly life. And if you care about somebody, if you care about their eternity, we're going to have to tell them that what God's Word said is truth, and how will they hear unless somebody shares it? That's being the salt. Salt has a sphere of influence, and it's supposed to be where you are. And just like salt as a flavor enhancer or as a preservative, we do our best work when we're in direct contact with what we're supposed to be influencing. That's why Christ said, don't be of the world, but you still have to be in the world. Listen, there are times we need to get away. There are times that we do need to hide away in our homes and be in church. But the rest of the time, dear folks, after we kind of get our pump up by worship, by coming to God and growing closer to Him, that we're supposed to go out into the world and we're supposed to share the flavor of life that God has given to us. Thus, we don't withdraw from the world. But as James chapter 1, verse 27 says, we are to stay unspotted from the world. It didn't say stay out of the world. We're not supposed to hide away and become monks or whatever, way off somewhere in the Himalayas and never see the outside world again. Listen, that's being so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. Because if we're going to look what Scripture says that we're to be salt. And what good is salt unless it's sprinkled on the world? Amen? Our purity as God's salt agent to influence is paramount. We've got to stay pure. The purity of our private life has everything to do with our ability to influence the public that surrounds us. And if we think that we can just do what we want to do, wherever we are, whether anybody's looking or not looking, then we fail to understand what God's Word is saying. Let me share this with you. Did you know that in order for salt to keep its flavor, salt must be pure. Did you know that? It's got to be pure. Now, you can have something in it, and it'll still taste like salt. But it won't keep its saltiness unless it's absolutely pure. Centuries ago, the Romans, this is a community in which Jesus grew up and preached and taught, Romans contended that salt was one of the most purest elements in the world. Do you know why? Because it came straight from the ocean, from the sun, and the sea. And they would collect it, and they would use it, and they thought, well, because it comes from the sun and the sea, it's one of the most purest things you can do. Now, this condition, if you will, the condition of this metaphor is not lost on Christianity. Here's the thing. If you got your salt from the sea, it still had some other things in it, but it was a much purer form than if you got it from down in the Dead Sea, which had a lot more salt. It was easier to collect salt from the Dead Sea because it had no outlet. But it was mixed with so many other minerals and ingredients that whenever they gathered that salt, it didn't take long for it to lose its flavor. Are you with me? The other ingredients tainted it, and it lost its savor. So you know what they would do when it ceased to be salt? Do you know what salt is when it loses its savor? Dirt. Now, they would use the salt, and they were told, if your salt loses its flavor, don't just throw it into the water. Don't throw it in. Throw it on the road because it made a good stabilizer. So what happened to it? It was thrown out, and it was trampled under people's feet. Wait a minute. Let's go back and look at verse 13. Are you with me? You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It can't. It's no longer any good except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You understand what he's saying now? If you had impure salt, it would lose its savor, and they would throw it out on the road just to keep the mud down. If we're going to be salt to our world, folks, we have got to be an example of purity. Because if we're going to have the flavor of God, it can't be mixed in with the world because our savor is lost. Oh, here a while back when I had high blood pressure and was going through some stuff, the doctor told me, Gary, I want you to get off salt. Well, I went down to the store and I bought what they called light salt. You know what light salt is? It's a white substance mixed with salt. So you know what I did? I just used twice as much. Light salt doesn't have the savor that pure salt does because it's filled with fillers. Hello? If you've ever been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care what that lady's name is, Mrs. Run or Mrs. Whatever. I knew you knew. It's not salt. And it gives it some different stuff, but it doesn't have the savor of salt. Friends, if we're just filled with the fillers of the world, we're not going to have the effect on the world that God wants us to be. Christians who want to be spiritually influential, they've got to hold a high standard, and that standard is going to have to be Christ, of His purity, of His conduct, of His speech, and of His thought. Just like the light salt has very little savor because it's full of the fillers, we have less impact on the world when we're not pure. We can't exercise the power of the salt. Now, here's one that I really like as well. It adds to our understanding here. We know that salt is the preservative of the ages. You could go back and look in all of the dried ingredients that are on the shelf of your grocery store. And it's going to have a whole list of mextradextra, something rather, chloride, bitch, or whatever mentioned. Are you with me? It's going to have all those different things in it. And that what they are is preservatives. They didn't have all that back in the Roman day. So you know what they used? Salt. They used salt. In the ancient time, salt was used as a preservative, and they would mix it liberally with the meat, or the meat would soon be lost. That's where we got salted ham, salted pork, salted sheep, whatever it is that we've got. And it would last much, much, much longer. Now, there was a process in removing that salt so it was edible, but if they didn't put it in there, it was lost very quickly. Well, without the preserving presence of God in our civilization, in our society, civilization is going to be lost as well. Please understand this. Salt was a preservative, and salt, as God's people, we are the preservative. Civilization will self-destruct. It will be lost without God's influence. And if you think I'm wrong, go ask the people that drowned in Noah's day. If you think I'm wrong, look and see what happened to Rome. Humankind does not become increasingly pure. Unfortunately, left to our own devices, we don't become more and more like the Creator. We become more and more like the influencer Satan without the influence of God. The presence of Christianity is so absolutely necessary in our society because without it, we will self-destruct. To be saved from disintegration, you have got to be salt in an impure world. How is that? You remember how the emperors reached out into the society, and they found the Christians, and they murdered them, they sacrificed them, they burned them at the stake, they fed them to lions, they just killed them where they were, and after they got rid of all of them that they could find, what happened to Rome? It disintegrated. When Nero and all the others finished things off, it wasn't long after that that they moved into such self-degradation that they brought the implosion on the city of Rome. As a Christian, dear friends, we are called to be the preservative in our society. It is the presence of God's love in you, in me, in us, and in our testimony of the saving grace of Jesus Christ that defeats the corruption that's in our society. It fosters a setting of repentance. Unless they hear the word of God, how in the world will they become convicted? And I believe this next point can be applied to this preserving metaphor too. So the last point for today is that salt adds flavor to life. People ask me all the time, and I'm going to ruin some of your coffee drinking here. People ask me all the time, how come the coffee tastes so good at church? Because I put a little pinch of salt in it. Some of you are going to stop drinking it, huh? Just a little pinch of salt. It doesn't take much. But it's an old trick that, you know, did you realize that if you make candy at home, that you need to put a little bit of salt in it and it brings the flavor out like crazy? Well, we know it about meat and vegetables and all the other things, but it does. Salt adds flavor to life. Without salt, food loses so much flavor. Dear friends, you get the metaphor here, don't you? That what salt is to food, Christians are to be to daily life. Adding the flavor that brings joy to people. And we're to share that life. We're to share that joy with everyone. The tragedy is this, that so many Christians have lost their savor. that many people just assume that to be a Christian is to have absolutely no flavor in life. We button our shirts up to the top and walk around like stiff people who have no love and no life and no joy.
Well, I can't do anything. I'm a Christian.
Why do we focus on the no's instead of the do's? The no's are all about protecting your life. The no's are all about protecting the longevity of your life. The no's are all about having the ability to be poured into by God's Holy Spirit. And if you do that, you miss nothing. You gain so much more. People have wrongly concluded that to be a Christian robs flavor from life. Well, that's only from the people who are living in the world and like the world. Or Christians that are, as salt, you, me, we are to show our community the joy of Christian faith. That's what we're here for. Otherwise, if there's not other people that need to be saved, we can just do like they do on Star Trek and say, beam me up, Scotty. Lord, when you become a Christian, why not just go on? Because we're to be that salt and influence for those around us. Did you know this? That Constantine had embraced Christianity and he brought it in as the official religion of Rome. Did you remember that? Constantine did this. Well, when Constantine was lost, the next emperor was Julian. And Julian wanted to go back to all the old gods. And instead of embracing Christianity, he said, I want to go back to all the old gods. And do you know what he quoted his reason as being? Christians. Isn't that a sad note? Listen, let me tell you what he said. He wanted to go back to the old gods because he said, I don't like Christians. Nobody likes Christians. They are, quote, from his dossier, hollow-eyed, pale-cheeked individuals with no ambition or joy. Does that sound like you? I hope not. Do you realize that when I was a young pastor, I'm still a young pastor, when I was a younger pastor, I've had more than one person tell me, preacher, you just have too much fun to be a pastor. You know what I told them? Get over it. Listen, I'm not saying that there aren't times I need to dial it back. Y'all can pray for me, okay? Pray for me. I know that there are times that maybe I get a little too giddy. But understand this. That if we don't show the joy that Christ gives us in our heart, who wants it? I try to fool my kids all the time when they were little. I said, don't eat that steak. It's nasty and tough. Daddy will eat that steak. You eat that nice tender gravy. They didn't believe it for a minute, did they? No, because they watched what I did, which was eat. And we can talk about what people should do, but if we are not doing it ourselves, what influence do we have? Oliver Wendell Holmes, you ever heard of that guy? Sure you have. Did you know that he said this? He said, quote, I might have gone into ministry if certain clergymen that I have known had not acted so much like undertakers. Robert Louis Stevenson, anybody recognize that name? He once wrote in his diary with great delight, I went to church today and I'm not even depressed. Dear friend, we need to show our community the joy of Christian faith. Not just the, no, I can't participate in that. And there's a time for that, friends. If you don't, you're losing your saltiness. But there's also the time to tell people, look, I get a greater joy by not participating in this and participating in this. If you will share with people what God gives you, what God does for you, and the difference he makes in your life, that's when you're salt. That's when you're making a difference. We need to show them our joy. I'm going to tell you, in a world that is so depressed, people need some joy. Tonight, we're going to light your fire. Okay, our fire. You know what? Do you know what the point of tonight is? Literally, you know, there's really only a couple of things. Join together and just enjoy fellowship and company with good folks. Come join us. We'll probably sing a few songs. We'll probably share some things. Whatever you want to do, just come in and enjoy the fellowship of Christ and have a good time. Enjoy the fellowship of Christ. In a world that is so doggone depressed, we are charged with the joyous responsibility of being the salt of the earth. In other words, the flavor of life. As God's emissaries, we are to live and do as Christ Jesus did and to add flavor to life. I love John 10:10. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says it this way. The thief, Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. Listen, I want abundant life, don't you? As I look forward to life, what I don't look forward to are the times of depression. I don't look forward to the times of being locked away in a room. What I look forward to is the fellowship and the love and the understanding of the wonderful blessings I've been given. I want to share with you a story of my great, great, and I believe it was great, grandfather Deggs. I've shared this with you probably about 7, 8 years ago. Some of you may remember it. True story. I remember as a little child going to my grandmother. We called her Ma Lad. Her name was Helena, and everybody called her Ma in my family. And Ma Lad would tell me the story. I'd say, Ma, tell me about great-grandpa and the Indians. And she'd say, well, she said, back in the early 1800s, she said he would go out into the countryside, and he had to go to town, and he had to go fairly close to an Indian reservation, and he had learned to stop by, and that he could do a little trading, different things with them. And he was so much fun with the kids and with the people that whenever he started coming down the road, the children would see him coming, and they would run to meet Mr. Deggs. Sometimes they'd pat his pockets to see if he had brought any hard candy. And they would know immediately, keep asking. He went there so often, they finally invited him to stay and to eat with them. Well, all they had was, they had venison. That was the meat they were going to have. And they boiled it in a huge black pot, he said. And they would put the venison in the pot and boil it all day long. Have you ever had boiled venison without seasoning? Exactly. So what he did is he determined the next time he came, he would fill his pockets with salt, with rock salt. And they would go by, and he brought it the next time, and he went to the pot while it was cooking, and he emptied his pocket into the pot. And one of the braves saw him do it. Drew out his spear, pinned him to the ground, and was going to kill him for poisoning the tribe. And he said, wait. He finally convinced them to let him up, and he said, it's not poison. He said, it's good. And he finally convinced them that it was a season that was going to make it taste better. So you know what they did? They said, eat it. So he did. He ate it. And made out over it as much as he could. Well, they watched him for a while. And then they made the squaws eat some. And after the squaws were okay, the men began to eat. And they all were so impressed that the chief told him, you will bring this every time you come. And whenever Grandpa Deggs started coming down the road, the children would start running down the road to meet him, but the Braves would pass them up. And you know what they did? They patted his pockets to see if they had any, he had anything good for them. Friends, isn't that exactly the way we're supposed to be with this world? That the world, when they see you come and says, that man, that lady, that young man, that young lady, they've got a flavor in life that makes our life better, and we want some. Friends, if we don't have that kind of influence, you've lost your savor. And that is a sad commentary for too many Christians today. Pray with me. Precious Lord, we've been given the incredible and wonderful and awesome privilege and responsibility of being your emissaries. You didn't say we dispense salt. You didn't say we have it. You said we are. God, would you help us to remove the impurities in our life that keep us from bringing the savor and joy of Christ.